The interview recorded with Steve Hathaway on 8th of March 2017 contains some stories which listeners may find upsetting. Please proceed to listen at your own discretion. We will now begin recording the interview with Steve Hathaway. The recording takes place on the 8th of March at Oasis on Splott Road. The volunteers present are Kaylee Williams and Lara Taffer, and this recording is being collected as an oral history and will be part of the Chronicle Project, a project led by VCS Cymru and funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, my name's Steve and I live in Splott and I've lived here for about 20 years now. And I was originally born in Abergavenny, which is a little town about an hour away. But I've been living in Splott for 20 years and the local phrase is I'm now a Splott boy. And I feel like I live and belong here.
And so could you tell us the story again about how you started volunteering at Oasis?
Okay, about 2 years ago, my big passion is music, and I noticed there was a concert on for a Congolese choir, and I was looking at the flyer on the internet, and it said that there would also be a small community choir from a local refugee centre. I thought that's surprising, so I looked it up. It was called Oasis, and I was really surprised to find that it was just 100 yards from where I lived. So I thought, oh, that'd be interesting. I'll send them an email and say I haven't got any particular skills, however I can speak English and I'm quite friendly, and take it from there. So I sent the email and they invited me along.
And how many years ago was that?
That was probably over 2 years, yeah.
Did you do any other volunteering before you came to Oasis?
I might have done, but I can't remember. Okay. But anyway, do you want me to tell you about the first time I came down? Okay. So I came down as I now say a UK national, where everything is well ordered, got a national insurance number, the streets are metalled, the street lights come on every day, you turn on the tap and you get water. And I came down to Oasis and I met people from all over the world. And, when I came in, I felt a bit uncomfortable, because basically I was the only white person there. And I went into the cafe room, and I'd say that most of the people there would be young black African men, where their future is uncertain. They would be asylum seekers, where they would come from a part of the world which may well be war-torn, where they may not be water on tap, where there might not be metal roads, where things aren't certain. So it was quite amazing to come in to meet people from around the world, where my world is very certain and safe and secure, and their world on that day would be they would be asylum seekers in Britain, but at any moment they could be told by the Home Office, sorry, you're off home tomorrow.
And so what kind of things you volunteer for at the centre? What are some of your responsibilities?
Well, I came down just to see what was what, and then they pointed me in the direction of being in charge of the garden. And I thought, well, okay, I'll give it a go. And I came down about a week later, all ready to make a start. And I was the only person there waiting to start, and I thought, well, hang on. And again, this is what I found out about Oasis, which is what I like, is that things aren't particularly well organized. There's about three different time zones: African time zone, British time zone, and Middle Eastern time zone, and they don't marry up any. But anyway, I thought, well, I don't think this is going to work. So I hear that they did some English. So I went in and said, oh, you know, I understand you do some English. How about if I help out with the English teacher? And I then went along to the first English class. And she was a very good teacher, actually. She's very, the current English teacher is good, but not as good as the first English teacher. So I went along and I did some work with her, and I did it once a week for up until now.
Have you ever had the chance to, if music's your passion, share that passion with the people on the refugee centre at Oasis?
Well, occasionally there's been some music here, but I can't play an instrument and I can't read the instrument, but music is my great passion. I go to loads of music, and when they have some music on here, I come and listen to it, and it's brilliant. Although another thing I've got involved with, as well as helping teach English, I help with it, this conversation group called the fan group, called Friends and Neighbours. And via that, I've got to know some Sudanese Muslim women, and recently I arranged for them to come to the opera, and they absolutely loved it. The opera was really good, Welsh National Opera, world-class opera company. They were doing La Boheme, which is a beautiful opera, and they, the Welsh National Opera, did it to a very high standard, which I really enjoyed, but the Sudanese Muslim women absolutely loved it. And I'm passionate about music, but the thing about opera, if you go, the audiences are dominated by white pensioners. There's no question about it. If you go to the opera, it'll be dominated by affluent white pensioners. But I like to take young people, and on this occasion, I took three Sudanese Muslim women, and they loved it. In fact, the young people loved it, and the Sudanese Muslim people loved it. So it doesn't have to just be a preserve for old, white, affluent people.
And so what motivated you to get involved with volunteering here?
It seemed like an interest. I'm interested in the world, and and probably at the time I thought, well, that'll be interesting. Try it out. But in retrospect, yeah, it's been magnificent, and I think I've got more out of it than I've put in, because just by walking down the road, I meet people from all over the world. For example, the fan group. 1 week there was some women from Mosul, and also some men from Aleppo. And how current is that? I mean, you can see it on the news, you can read it about it on the internet, on the newspapers, but actually come to meet people who've lived through those experiences. And I find that immense.
But one of our questions is, how does volunteering help you get to know your community better? So that was, take that one
aside for us. Well, my local community is, I'm well known in my street, and they are overwhelmingly white and lived here for decades, and a few of them are racist, to be quite frank, and I know the racists. But some people I'd say that these are part of my community as well, the refugees and asylum seekers. And the thing I like about Splot is that it's, over the 20 years I've lived here, it has become more and more multicultural. And I don't say that people love each other, but they get on, which is really magnificent. And what I'm proud of in Splot is that this place sits here and there's no bother. No bother. I'm not saying that the local community come flooding in and they all do things together, but it sits here. It's quite obviously for the great majority of people who come in will be young African men, but it doesn't have any problems.
One of the groups that we've interviewed before was Adams Down Arts Association, and pause for a second. So I was mentioning before, one of the previous interviews we did was with Adams Down Arts Association, and they had run a program here. Did you?
No.
No, hadn't been involved in that. Just thought I would ask. So what, they obviously have a craft room and they do sports. What are some of the other programming that they have here available?
Well, I'm only involved in the English language teaching and the fan group. I know there's lots of other things go on, but exactly what I don't know. But I guess that the main thing is it's a centre for people to come together, asylum seekers and refugees, where they get companionship. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is probably the cafe, where people can go in and they'll have a friendly face to chat with.
Do you know how many volunteers are?
I don't know. I don't know. And the thing is, I love doing this. it's completely informal. I found my own way in, and I now do what I enjoy. And I've got to know people and chatting to all sorts of people. But the formal structure, I don't know.
Are you given a lot of autonomy to choose what kinds of things?
Yes, yeah, I think I am, yeah. And the thing is, I choose to do this work, and I love Oasis. And I come down a couple of times a week, and I could do a bit more if people ask me, or there's a specific thing I would add. But I'm very boundaried in terms of I don't want to take on too much, because the people at Oasis, the asylum seekers and refugees are, in my experience, lovely, good-hearted people, but their needs are immense, and I'm not going to give too much. Because it would just suck me dry.
Just give what you can.
I give what I can, and I give what I enjoy giving. But I've got the luxury of saying so far, but no further.
Does anybody else in your family or friends volunteer here with you?
Yeah, not my family, but my I got some friends come. They came to help out with English as well, yeah. Probably two other friends.
Were you the inspiration for that?
I wouldn't say inspiration, but yeah, I put the finger on them and they come, yeah. And in fact, my friend Stuart comes and he loves it. He absolutely loves it.
Good. Are there any frustrations or disappointing that you find by doing volunteer work?
No. As I say, if I found it any frustrations or disappointments or anything I didn't like, I just wouldn't do it. So I'm retired. I've got the luxury of choosing what I do and what I don't do. So it is very luxurious.
Do you have any favourite memories of volunteering here that stand out?
I'm sure I have it. It doesn't occur to me at the moment, but I'm sure not. If it comes back to me, I'll
tell you. It's one that's hard to do on the spot.
Yeah. It is, yeah, I'm sure. But look, for example, the women that came from Mosul, and some women that came from Aleppo. I mean, that's another very powerful experience was when a woman came to the discussion group, and she was from Syria, and couldn't speak much English, but she told you very clearly what it was like to go through that experience. Now, she made her journey with her family from Syria, a war-torn zone, via Libya, and she told us how on one occasion she was stopped at a where the soldiers are, they do checks, yeah, and her daughter was taken away and raped, and then they got on a boat to come to Europe, and the boat sank, and two of her sons were drowned. And what do you say? That was very memorable. Not the best memory, but right. Extremely memorable.
Do you think that volunteering here has changed you in any way?
I think it's enriched my life. I don't know if it's changed me, but it's, you know, I've met some good people here, and I've become friends with a few refugees, which is really good. So I think it's built on my life, but I'm still the same old difficult bugger I was.
And how do you think your volunteering, or even the volunteering here, has benefited the wider community and the people that come in here and seek help?
The wider community, I don't know, but the people who've come here, well, I think just friendly UK national who can speak the English language and is willing to talk, I think that's my guess is, I think that's more than a guess, that is beneficial to the refugees and asylum seekers who want to learn English, because they, like everybody, if you go abroad on holiday, like to Spain, yeah, go with your friends or your family, and it's incredible how little Spanish you'll have to speak. You point, say, por favor, dos, and that's about it. But you don't have to learn, and it's the same with people here. People come from Eritrea, they live together, they have their little Eritrean cafe, and so the odd bit of English. So to actually speak with a UK native speaker, I think is immense.
And so do you actually lead the ESOL classes, or like do you?
No, I am the helper. They tried to make me the teacher, but I refuse.
And so what?
I am a very experienced helper for the teacher. I've been a very bad English teacher.
What does helping entail?
What it entails is means you have the teacher, the friend, he's called Richard, very nice man. And help, I ask him awkward questions. Because I find my natural environment is to sit at the back with the African men, right, who tend to be a bit, you know, keep out the way, but I encourage them to come forward.
Do you bring a little bit of comic relief?
That's the one, yeah, a comic relief.
Good. Things can I ask you? What if you had to define volunteering, how would you define it?
I don't know. I don't get any monetary reward. I come along and do what I can. Mm-hmm. That's volunteering. And I think I do it because I think if it's worthwhile. If I think it was not worthwhile, I wouldn't bother. Although I did do, I don't know if you wanted me to go on to another bit of volunteering I did. I did some volunteering a couple of years ago, and it was a project which looked brilliant. It was working with primary school kids, and it was specifically the shy, withdrawn primary school kids. I thought, oh, this is lovely. And I saw the video, and all these poor little children, you have to be very careful and bring them out of their shell. I thought, oh, that's brilliant.
What did you do with that project?
Well, I got assigned with three other volunteers, and we went to this primary school, and ADHD, challenging behaviour problems, I wouldn't put them down as shy little children. They were full on.
Which primary school was it?
It was, I can't remember the name, but it was like towards Llanrymly, I think Llanrymly. But the kids were very challenging. And I thought, well, hang on, you're a big man with a big loud voice, so take it easy. Let the young women come forward. You know, you do. But they ran rings around us. And by the time I thought, well, hang on, time to step forward, they were already running the show. This is over a period of weeks. So in fact, that wasn't a good experience.
What I'd like to ask actually is if you had to give some advice or words of inspiration to somebody who is interested in volunteering, what would you say?
Well, give it a go. Give it a go. I mean, in terms of Oasis, I would say, give it a go. And it's immensely rewarding. The people there, refugees and asylum seekers, are really good-hearted people, so give it a go. But be boundaried, because their needs are immense. So you could be swallowed up. So you need to be careful about. And in fact, I say this to my friends when they come along. You know, just do. It would be very tempting to get too involved, but that's the advice I would give in this project.
Anything you'd like to add that we haven't asked you, or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Then I guess.
How much do I get paid?
This is a volunteer as well.
Oh.
Good.
Oh, I thought you'd work for Fiverr. Get a can of four Polish lagers, strong, 5%.
Sorry.
Oh.
But thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.